Welcome to Night School, and we got a topic here that kind of relates to everything I talk about, and what inspired it was a YouTube comment on one of my YouTube videos from a guy named Matt, and I don't know him, but he's commented a couple times, and then the comment has been deleted or didn't show up. I've gotten notifications that show the comment, and I don't mean to call you out if you're deleting your comments because for whatever reason, and I don't know him. I don't recognize the first or last name. And as you can imagine, I'm incredibly excited whenever I get an email or a comment about something. I'm very comment deprived. I'm very feedback deprived. So if you ever have any idea in your mind at all and you want to share it with me and have it even addressed, because chances are I'm so comment deprived that if I get the rare comment, I'll address it on here. I really would like there to be more feedback with this. But anyway, he's made a couple comments, and one of them was in reference to the last video I made, which I don't even remember the topic offhand. Clearly, it was so important that it's in my brain. But, you know, I make a lot of references to team sports as it relates to social politics, and that's something that a lot of people are doing these days. They'll refer to it as team sports, Democrat, Republican, all these other divisions in our social world. And the guy who commented, he made a reference to tribalism, and it made me think about how I've moved away from the term tribalism. And tribalism is something you hear a lot. It comes up almost constantly in discussions of politics and just the social environment. And I studied sociology in college from 2004 to 2008, and I remember back then I was writing a lot about modern tribalism. I thought I was very witty, and I was like, you know, modern tribalism, this, and you know, I love to make that reference, and I think it's really important to see things that way. I think it's important to look through that lens where you're aware of how our tribal nature manifests in the modern world, because we've grown so far beyond the tribal nucleus, but those tendencies are still there. They're still a part of the collective unconscious. You know, I love to talk about the collective unconscious these days. I don't really feel like tribalism fits as well these days with talking about politics and some of the social divides that are going on. I don't feel that I say team sports, and what I mean is fandom. What I see more is cheerleading. I see people who treat these issues and these politicians and these public figures and these topics, really, as if they were cheerleaders. And when I say team sports, I don't want that to be confused with actual teams. It's more fandom, because actual teams have a function, just like a tribe has a function, a sports team, a football team. People have a role and a function, and in a true tribe, you'll see that people have a function, and it becomes very apparent when someone isn't functional, and if they're not functional, usually there's a reason, and the tribe takes care of them. And I know this is a grand generalization, but I think that tribes have this, the identity. There's that same sort of identity. People wave flags. They dress the same. They look the same. They might have similar ideas. But a tribe is there to save those people from the elements, from nature, from other, true competition for resources and all of that. And you don't see people. Tribes don't have people who are just saying, well, I'd love to go hunting with you, but I just can't. I'll sign the petition, you know, whereas what we see in politics today with, you know, the fandom of politics and the teams that people have chosen is you see a lot of that. There are very few people actually doing anything when it comes to these social and political issues. I know a lot of people who would probably consider themselves activists, but I see them doing next to nothing. I think activism in these people's minds is signing an online petition, sharing an article, and expressing some kind of complaint or dissatisfaction within their bubble, because they don't typically go outside of that bubble. But there's no actual engagement. And then another part of that is that they cheerlead for the people who do engage, but often those people, their form of engagement is just kind of this hostility, and it's this they butt heads with people who are equally hostile on the other side. Maybe if they're really ballsy, they'll butt heads with somebody who is equally hostile. But more often than not, what they will do is butt heads with somebody who just kind of casually disagrees with them, or doesn't even disagree with them, just doesn't see things exactly the way they do. And so that very passive, quote unquote, activist will cheerlead that. They'll do the online stuff, and then they'll spend the rest of their time constantly justifying why they're not doing more, while feeling immensely guilty about it, and knowing in their heart, their mind might tell them they're an activist or they're resisting or doing something, but their heart's ultimately telling them they're not doing something. And their heart is telling them, you know, you're not really doing anything at all. And that leads to all kinds of issues. When you know something in your heart, when you just fundamentally know something that you're doing is not consistent with what you're saying, or what you're projecting, that just leads to all kinds of problems. And I didn't mean to go deep down the psychological rabbit hole, not that that's that deep. But, you know, there's that very passive sort of thing. And that's how a lot of sports fans are, really. You know, they kind of cheerlead for their team. They kind of, you know, they wear the colors, they wave the flag here and there. And then you have those people who are the extremely vocal ones who will get in the fight with the big fan of the other team. They'll get in this hostile, you know, back and forth with the other fans. But ultimately, they're not doing much. I mean, we know they're not helping the team, you know, because that's what anti-sports fans always say, is they always say, they're not winning because of you. They're not winning because you're cheering for them, you know, because there is this idea that the sports fan thinks that they're really impacting something. It's very common with sports fans where it's like when your team scores a touchdown, you almost feel like you were part of the process. And in some weird way, you are, because you're giving energy to that team. But it's also like you didn't actually do it. You didn't actually make any move that directly contributed to that touchdown. And it's sort of similar with politics, where you can say that the cheerleading for these issues, for these politicians, for this or that, does contribute energy, but it definitely doesn't have a direct result. And I think that it's arguable whether it has any result, because we don't measure politics and things in terms of touchdowns as much as people treat them that way. You know, you'll see people who watch a debate, and this just kind of reinforces the team sports aspect, where people don't watch debates and say, like, well, that other guy had a good point. They watch him and they're like, they're 100% geared toward my side is right, that side is wrong, and anything the other side says is wrong. That's just how it is. It's sort of like a fan who watches a sports team and everything the other team does is cheating. That's just like the most disgusting thing to witness, is when you're with other sports fans and they're just constantly saying, the refs, they're blaming everything on the refs. They're blaming everything on underhanded moves that the other side is doing. Meanwhile, overlooking the same things that benefit their own team. It's just that total tunnel vision. And combined with a weird victim complex. I mean, like, a sports fan with a victim complex toward their own team might be one of the most disgusting realities that you can experience. Don't watch games with those people. But it's the same sort of mindset that's very common in political environments, so to speak. I keep saying environments. What's the environment anyway? What's an environment? It's an environment within an environment, an envelope within an envelope. You know, I've gotten away from that saying tribal, because I feel like a tribal identity, yeah, it is sort of a team, but within that tribe, there are different viewpoints, there are fundamental differences, but what keeps a tribe together is function. And, you know, there's other things as well, family, things like that. You know, obviously it's a very close, there's a lot of kinship, there's a lot of things that keep a tribe together, but ultimately there is a function, and beyond the tribal identity, people are doing things. I don't see that in politics. I see it's pure cheerleading. Let me sip my drink here. So I'm not going to use that term anymore, and I've kind of stopped. And I don't think there's anything really that profound about hyping the team sports aspect of all this either. I don't think that that's really going to get us anywhere by saying, like, oh, all these things that people are extremely vocal and upset about, and all these attitudes that are really starting to bother people and really starting to, like, creep into every aspect of our reality. I don't think there's anything that profound or meaningful, or it's going to take us to some new level by being like, they're just cheerleaders. They're just fans. But at the same time, I'd rather refer to them that way. If I'm going to be all critical, if I'm going to get all critical with my social commentary, I'd rather it be accurate. And I just don't feel that referring to this as some sort of modern tribalism is accurate, because I think within a tribe, you have people who are conservative leaning or liberal leaning, for lack of a better term. I think those ideas, I think what we call conservatism in its essence is a part of a tribe. And within the same tribe, there is what we call liberalism in its essence. I think the essence of those things go to our most base levels. And that doesn't mean that, you know, oh, so you're saying in some tribe that someone's anti-abortion and someone else is pro-marijuana legalization. Those things don't even factor in. It's all, you know, contextual. It's all circumstantial. But I think that those tendencies, and studies have shown that those tendencies exist in us biologically. They're not just a part of how we are raised. They come from somewhere far deeper than we realize. And I feel like I can attest to that, because I was raised in a very liberal home, and I would consider most of my values very liberal, consistent with what people would call liberalism in the world today. But I do have this tendency. I can feel this little pull towards some sense of conservatism. And I don't know if that's just an attempt to balance myself out from my surroundings, if it's that inner rebel. I don't know what it is, but my dad has it too. My dad he didn't raise me. He didn't, like, impart his beliefs. You know, he didn't try to, you know, teach me how to think a certain way, anything like that. But I see it a lot in him, where some of his values are very consistent with liberalism. He grew marijuana for decades. He's an environmentalist, but he definitely has these weird conservative tendencies. And I wouldn't even say they're weird. He's definitely very fiscally conservatism. And I see this social conservatism come out in him sometimes as well. And I don't think he would deny that at all. In fact, I think he might even call himself a conservative, if he even calls himself anything. But while I wouldn't say I'm that extreme, I definitely feel some little tendencies here and there. And I don't know what that is, but I do feel like it's always been a part of me. And it wasn't because of the environment I grew up in. It wasn't because of anybody else's influence. It wasn't even in reaction to things I saw happening out in the world. It's just some little voice in me that says, well, think about it this way. And I think that same dynamic plays out in a tribe, where a tribe isn't a group of people who all believe exactly the same way and have the same exact view of everything. That is not what a tribe is. A tribe is kind of this, it's very cellular, you know, and it's very, it's an organism. That's what I'm trying to get at here. A tribe is an organism, and I don't think an organism can function if it just has this list. And I always refer to the checklist. And what we see in politics today, you know, you think about, you know, the far right, and they have this checklist, and it's like bam, 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 bam. If somebody agrees with these checkboxes, they're right wing, and the right wing will accept them as one of their own, and they can be part of that. Someone will hand them pom poms. But then if they have one of those checkboxes unmarked, all of a sudden all those fundamentally right people will turn on them. It's something like gun control, let's say. Let's say they're anti-gay marriage, they're anti-big government, but then they believe in gun control. All of a sudden, there's a large number of people who will turn on them for that one issue. And you see it a lot with the left as well, where you know, someone can be, I'll just use the same exact issues because I'm lazy, but someone can be pro-gay marriage, you know, a big fan of heavier taxes, you know, to aid social causes. And then they believe in no gun control. And all of a sudden, a lot of their friends are going to, you know, turn on them. Maybe not their friends, but a number of people who they otherwise agree with and would otherwise identify them as one of their own, they cast them out. And a tribe cannot afford to do that. And, you know, I'm not, you know, I don't know. I'm not trying to say that like every tribe operates on the same principles or, you know, has the same process in which they deal with the world and deal with themselves. But there is something core to the function of a tribe, and it is about function. It is about survival. It is there are practical needs that go far beyond simply agreeing, because agreeing is a luxury. Agreement is a luxury. Nature is not based on agreement. Nature is about things coming into conflict with one another. And I'm not even using this as some sort of might is right argument, because I don't really believe that. There's so much going on in our in our world that might is right is just, you know, not where I'm going with this. But conflict is sort of the nature of things. There is just constant conflict, and not direct conflict. I'm not saying everything is constantly fighting each other, but things are at odds with each other. Things don't necessarily add up. Things don't necessarily, I mean, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say they don't add up, because, you know, but I don't know. That's a really out there topic to talk about, like what nature is all about from my little puny human perspective. But there is an underlying conflict to so much of the natural world. And I think that that's true for each organism within the world. And the tribe is a larger organism than the individual. And the individual has those things playing out. In the same way that I mentioned that I have sometimes different values that are at odds with each other, and I have to do something with that dissonance. I have to process that in some way. And sometimes one side wins out. Sometimes it changes throughout the day. I mean, that's the thing, is sometimes my views change not just day to day, but within a single day, and they go back again. Sometimes based on how I'm feeling, I feel different about different issues going on in the world. That's how crazy things are, and I don't think that's something that we really are willing to address. We like to imagine that we, even as individuals, are just completely fixed. You know, like I am this and I'm this all the time. And when I change, it's deliberate and it's very obvious and that. But no, I mean, I think with just, you know, I might feel differently about, you know, you could feel differently. It's not even big issues. You could feel differently about your wallpaper throughout the course of a day. You could be like, I love the wallpaper in my bathroom. It's exactly what I chose. I'm so glad I went to the home improvement store and picked out that fucking wallpaper. And then you bring it home and put it up. You have it for a day, and the next day you're like, I fucking hate that wallpaper. Why did I commit to that wallpaper? What the fuck was I thinking? And the next day you're like, yeah, I kind of like the wallpaper, you know? And then, you know, it can go on from there. And that might even happen within a single day. And maybe you ate the wrong thing when you looked at the wallpaper the second day, and that's why you didn't like it. Maybe you were hungover and you were feeling that just like all-consuming illness. And, where everything looked gross. you know, you don't know. There are so many different factors that go into the way you feel about everything. A single issue, a political issue, music. It might be music you love. I mean, think about how your opinion changes on music. Like, there might be a band that you love when you're 15, and when you turn 16, you're like, I'm so embarrassed that I liked that. Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. And people do that. I do that. I think about things that I was really into when I was like a certain age, and I'm like, man, that's fucking embarrassing. And for some reason, I have just this creep feeling of embarrassment, this creeping embarrassment inside of me when I think about certain phases and trends I had, even though I was just a growing fucking human on this crazy planet surrounded by all kinds of things and trying to figure it out. I still feel this little sense of embarrassment about things I was into or things I expressed, things I said to someone when I was 10. You know, those sorts of changes go on a larger level, and we should accept that. And I'm not saying to accept things that are fundamentally wrong to you. Because there are some things that I think are fundamentally wrong, and I wouldn't want to allow those things to influence my world. And I think that's why we have to be very careful. I'm not saying that we have to accept everything that everyone believes, because I think there are some things that are going to cause us problems, and some people just aren't seeing things right, you know, and we should constantly be trying to, you know, see why they see things that way, but we shouldn't necessarily allow those things to influence us, and those vary from person to person.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave, this golden land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me.